Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Ground ball, backhanded. Guillorme with a strong throw. Game over. Astros win it 11-4. They have now improved their record in the month of June to a Major League best record of 12-5 in this month. And that's a 5.5 game lead, their largest of the season. Blummer back-to-back, huge offensive games.
I like the fact that the Astros are racking up hits, and they're doing it as a team. They were relentless on the base pass today. They actually probably could have had some more runs, considering they had 20 hits. But 6-for-12 with runners in scoring position, I'll take that.
That's how it sounded as the Astros put the finishing touches on their 43rd win of the year, second most now in the American League. Luke Morrow in for Reggie today, Colin Neal in for Figgy Fig. It's In the Loop, and you can text the show 713-572-4610. It's pretty remarkable. In fact, let me first reference this Ben Verlander tweet, who said, Ben said, of course, Justin's brother, said people so badly want the Houston Astros to be bad. They want them to stop being relevant. But they just never stop. The Astros are inevitable. And for all the stuff that the Astros have dealt with this year, you look up and you see second most wins in the AL. And by the way, that great team in LA with all the talent, the Dodgers, they only have 3 more wins than the Astros.
What about the Yankees?
Yeah, they're right. They have more wins than the Yankees now, despite no Yordan for the last, 6 weeks?
Yeah.
3 starting pitchers down, whatever it's been, mixing and matching guys from AAA, and yet you look up, and I know the division isn't great, but the Astros have beaten some good teams along the way. And they have a nice lead in the division. And like I said, second best record in the AL despite all the curveballs, pun intended, that have been thrown their way.
Yeah, and you heard it. You just heard Blummer talking about how impressive a win it was, how impressive a streak it's been. I think Todd Callis was talking about what best record since, last month? In MLB, maybe I have that wrong, but certainly on a tear.
Yeah, what do you say? I think the month of June.
Maybe that's what it was.
So these last 3 weeks, about.
I mean, it's uncanny, and it's almost becoming a cliche with this Astros team, but they have been inevitable, and they are inevitable. I mean, look at the standings: 5.5 games, and this team has not been like on paper. Going into the year, it hasn't been like a daunting team. It doesn't look like the boogeyman, as Figgy likes to say.
Yeah.
But yet here they are. And, we've talked about what we're going to get into here in just a second. Some of the characters involved, and the injuries, there's only so much you can withstand. But I don't know if that's the answer I have for the question you wanted to raise here.
Yeah, so. Which is...
So the Astros do have the best record in the month of June.
Month of June.
12-4. Right behind them is the Red Sox and Rays at 11-5.
Yeah.
So, best record in June. Second best record in the AL. Nipping at the heels of the Dodgers and some of those teams, the Mets, who are scuffling in the NL as well. Right there in the thick of things. They have the 7th best odds right now to win the World Series. Even though they've dealt with all of... Before I get to the actual question, I mean, you could feel positive as an Astros fan, like, we're doing this without these assets. Wait till this comes back. We're going to be on fire. We're going to be even better. And I guess that's one way to look at it, because I wonder, at this point, with what we've seen, all of the bumps in the road and yet how well they've played, is there something that could actually derail this team? Or like Ben Verlander said, the Astros, they're just inevitable. No matter what you try to throw their way, no matter what you do, change the names, the injuries, everything, It's just the Astros. Nothing can derail this team right now.
I'm curious what your answer is because, you know, and we're forcing the issue right now because they are on such a tear.
Yeah.
But what could derail this team? I think the two obvious answers are you never get Yordan back, or it's longer, or he doesn't come back to be the same Yordan that we're used to, because you need a left-handed bat. You need him in the postseason. He's been a monster in the postseason with such big home runs, et cetera. And that's one of the obvious answers. The other one, we danced around a little bit as well. You know, at what point does this pitching magic, mm-hmm. you know, from players that you didn't expect a lot from, at what point does it crack? But that's not going to be my answer. I mean, I think those are obvious ones. They are answers here. My answer is going to be you just continue to ride. You don't do what the Astros have done traditionally in this last 9-10 year stretch. You don't make a move at the deadline that maybe puts you over the top.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like the formula that worked for them, whether it's, you know, Verlander or whomever at the deadline, I still think you can't just say, hey, we're good. You know, if you're a contender and not just for the division, not just, you know, for getting in the playoffs, if you want to make a run, a real run, I think you're going to have to add. And then the question becomes where, you know?
Yeah, where they'll add.
Actually, go ahead, Luke. I'll save this one.
Yeah.
No, that's my concern, too, with the Astros. If I had to pick one, is just I think it goes hand in hand with what you said. Because I think, I don't know, it's hard to say this isn't sustainable for a whole year. Because I know it's a smaller sample size, but they've been doing this now for quite a few weeks. So they'll probably will require some reinforcements come the trade deadline. But that's my concern for them, is that eventually... what's that expression? Like the chickens come home to roost or whatever it is. You know, like when you're trotting out your Gordons and your Jason Alexander and even Gusto and all these other guys, that eventually you start feeling these injuries, these misses, mm-hmm. these guys missing, even Yordan in the lineup. I know the lineup's been good, especially against the A's this week, but eventually you might start feeling the effects of that. And so I guess that's my concern. It's like, how long can you truly sustain this? But I go back to that Ben Verlander phrase that, hey, maybe the Astros are just inevitable. They're Kaiser Soze, who mm-hmm. you think Kevin Spacey is just this guy with a limp and he can't be a bad guy. And then you find out at the end of the movie, like, no, he's the mastermind. That's the Astros. You look at this team and you think, like, oh, they're not going to be that great this year. No, they're still one of the best teams in baseball.
Yes, Ben Verlander, the most famous Verlander.
Yes.
I don't know who his brother is. But so but the thing is, you know, you mentioned the deadline. Like, we're getting that time of year because someone co-tweeted a Chandler Rome tweet and said, Valdez Walker to Arizona for Josh Naylor and pitching prospect. And Chandler responds, 6 more weeks of this nonsense.
But see, that does speak to my point. Like, first of all, the most important thing is, could you make a deal, you know, with these prospects that, you know, it's still thin in the minor leagues? Could you make a deal? Could you afford to do it? And then where, you know, where starting pitching, to me, as crazy as it sounds, as much as you need help, with Hunter Brown and Framber Valdez pitching the way they are, I'm good with the number one and number two, and then you mix mm-hmm. and match and see what happens with McCullough. Do you need a starting pitcher? I mean, maybe, but you've got your number one and two there, and Lance McCullers is proven as a postseason guy if he gets healthy, which I know is a big if with this team. And then you start looking, all right, what about bats? Well, I think they're tied to Christian Walker, and with good reason. You know, they're paying him and everything else. I go back to... And Reggie and I went round and round on this. I still don't have, at some point, the way teams are running on Yonner Diaz and DeZenzo for that matter. Caratini for that matter. You need some there. That is going to come home to roost. You're going to lose a game because teams are just running rampant on you. And I'm not talking about the A's. I'm talking about good teams. Could you bolster the catching position? And even if you did, you're either going to bolster it with a defensive, because this is the way it is in Major League Baseball, a defense first catcher or an offense first catcher, and how much is that going to help you defensively at the catching position?
Yeah, that's a fair concern as well. My other thought, too, was, as you were talking about the starting pitching, my other concern is it bleeding into the bullpen. I was just trying to find, I couldn't mm-hmm. find it, but where the Astros rank in terms of innings pitched by the starters and the bullpen. But as you continue to trot these guys out that maybe are just more fill-ins, the concern being, are you going to overtax the bullpen over the course of a long season that by the time you get to September or August, that's where you need some reinforcements because these guys are just, they're running on fumes by the end of the year. So I guess that's it all ties back together, though, with this idea of, like, how long can we keep this thing going?
Yeah, yeah. No, that's what I've been saying. I mean, it has been sustainable. But how sustainable is it, especially unproven guys with when the pressure ratchets up and the competition ratchets up? You know, you talk about, you know, Brandon, you mentioned him, Brandon Walter and Gordon and all that. But still there at the back end. But that does affect the bullpen. And this is something that I've been keeping my eye on, even though they haven't really, you know, had any problems with it. You know, without McCullers, you are starting to try to stretch some of these starting pitchers that you really shouldn't. And I think on Monday it came back to bite you a little bit. Who was it Monday? Was it Caleb Ward? No, I don't know who it was. But, you know, it went a little too long and it came back to bite you against the A's. Maybe it's Tuesday. But either way, you're starting to stretch these guys. The bullpen is getting affected. Maybe that's the place. And it might be an easier place to get some reinforcements.
Yeah, that's true. And I know that is people knock the Astros for why, you know, part of the reason why they have all these pitching injuries is they kind of, you know, whether it's the spin on the baseball, all this sort of stuff, they ask a lot from their pitchers and, you know, it could wear them down. On the text line, 713-572-4610 to join the conversation. 979 says clutch city. That's why. That's why the Astros are still able to have success without, despite all the problems. 713 says, my only worry is the Astros typically play to their opponents. They've had one of the hardest schedules so far. What happens when they start playing bad teams? That's an interesting concern for our first place team. Like, oh no, we're starting to play the bad teams now. We're in trouble.
Well, that's been the trend for
Years, it's still so just funny to say, though.
By the way, Luke, you were wondering about the innings. So,
oh yeah,
the Astros are third in all of in the American League, at least, in starting pitchers' innings at 404 in a third and 12 in the AL in relief reliever innings.
Okay.
So I take it back. I thought it would have been a little more towards the opposite. But third in starters, yeah, you worry about some of the fill-ins, but my concern was more so about the bullpen. I guess they haven't been as taxed as I thought.
And this is the one that that we need to address because the 916 says, come on, guys. Javier France and Arrigetti are due back. The rotation is set up to be nasty. Have you been paying attention? Have you paid attention at all to Astros and pitchers and injuries? I don't know. I just frankly do not know. I mean, you could be right, but the history tells you, especially recent history tells you, don't expect any of these guys.
I know it.
Don't expect any of them to come back.
In comparison of all baseball, 23rd in relief innings.
Wow, that's good. Yeah, bottom eight. Yeah, no, I agree with the sentiment. Yeah, if you add those three guys, absolutely. That's a really good starting rotation, assuming they're healthy. But, yeah, it's a big if when you're talking about the Astros and wondering when these guys will actually come back.
I mean, even McCullers at this point.
I know.
You know, we talked about it earlier. You would think, hey, whatever he did in the weight room, whether it was bump his toe or something fell on it, you would think, all right, he'll be back. We haven't heard anything. I mean, maybe we'll get an update today, but we haven't heard a dang thing. About him.
That's the second freak accident, quote unquote.
Yes,
that's true. The national starting.
Well, stay tuned at 12:40 because we have buy or sell, and I want you and Colin to get in on this today.
The Astros, I think they have to be the most annoying team in probably all of baseball, where it's almost like if you grew up with siblings and you felt like your parents had a favorite child that they favored, and no matter what, like they're always. You think you finally have your brother, and then you're the one that gets blamed. For not, like, these other teams, especially in the AL West, the Mariners, the way they started this year, even the Angels, like, all right, this is our year. The Astros are a little depleted, and then you look up, and they still have a 5.5 game lead, and it's like, oh, my gosh, these guys are so annoying. You know, it's like Jim and Dwight in The Office, Dwight always getting blamed and Jim getting away with it. That's like the Astros. They just handle whatever you can throw at them. So we'll see.
Yeah, and the other part on this is, you know, water finding its level. Could that be an issue with the Astros at some point? And by that, I don't mean like, oh, these guys are going to fall. But we know that rookies like Cam Smith, you know, are going to hit a wall. Jeremy Pena didn't his rookie year. I mean, he was a AL MVP and a World Series MVP. He was also protected, you know, a lot in that situation in the lineup. Now, this lineup up and down, you heard, you know, Blum talking about that. Everybody's getting hits.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll continue. What is the water finding its level for Christian Walker? Or has it already?
Yeah, well, see, that's the thing. Because you could wonder, like, oh, can Jake Meyers keep this up? But then the other side of the coin is Christian Walker going to be this bad like all year? So I think we'll see some improvement. It's a long season, obviously. There's peaks and valleys. You'll see some guys go into a slump. Honestly, I was a little bit worried last night. Jeremy Pena, I think, started like 0-for-3, and he hasn't had the best series, and I thought, oh no.
Yeah.
It's coming crashing down for Pena, and then he finished the game with a couple of hits and like drove in a run. I was like, okay, no.
We're all
He's
good.
He's okay, yeah.
Yeah, we're all good.
But I know there's part of me that's just waiting for that other shoe to drop with like Myers, with Pena, because we saw it last year. We've seen it in the past. Once we get to the summer, you know, the batting average drops for those guys. We'll see. But yeah, Christian Walker should improve. Yainer Diaz has been better. He should continue to do so. What, if anything, could potentially derail the Astros at this point? You could text 713-572-4610. In the meantime, it's time to get some things off our chest. We have to do some lunchtime confessions presented by the Men's Clinic next. It's In the Loop.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions, presented by the Men's Clinic on Sports Radio 610.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
All right, so I had something of a revelation. John Lopez here with Colin and Luke here in for Reggie and Figgy. I had a revelation today about Juneteenth.
Ooh.
I'm gonna fix Juneteenth.
Okay.
What, our resident philosopher John Lopez.
That's right. I'm gonna fix Juneteenth. And I get Juneteenth is June 19th every year. But here's the thing. I feel like it's not a fully appreciated holiday. That's my confession. For a number of reasons. But I'm talking right now about just the holiday itself. Taking the day off. You know, as so many people have today. What if Juneteenth celebrated the holiday, which obviously it's in Galveston. It took it was the news of the Emancipation Proclamation, slaves being freed, et cetera, you know, and so on. But what if they treated it like President's Day or MLK Day? And hear me out on this. I get that it's June 19th was the date. But couldn't you fudge that a little bit? Like, keep in mind, President's Day and MLK Day are much more appreciated holidays because they're always on a Monday. Mm-hmm. Why can't you just do the same thing with Juneteenth? Even though June 19th doesn't always fall on a Monday, take a long weekend. Because, like, think about this. You're taking Figgy and Reggie are taking the day off. A lot of our hosts are, you know, Clint is taking the day off. Ron's taking the day off. But they're back to work tomorrow.
Yep.
Right? I get that it's the June 19th holiday, but you can fudge that. President's Day used to be on the same. When I was a kid, President's Day was on the same date. I don't remember the date. But it would. Then they changed it to a Monday.
Yeah.
That Monday. Then they, you know, MLK Day is on the Monday. So you can take a long weekend.
Yeah.
I'm fixing Juneteenth. Is anybody going to listen?
I love it. I'm with you. 100%. Yeah, it was President's Day. Wasn't that originally Washington's birthday? Was that what it was?
Yeah.
So obviously it would change.
It would be like a Tuesday, Wednesday,
yeah.
Whatever.
And then they made the right move to move it to a Monday. I love this idea. To your point, yeah, if I took today off, I would also take tomorrow off because I'm not coming back to work.
But you'd have to take your own day.
I know. Right? But I would still do it just out of principle. Like, I'm not coming back just for a Friday.
Right.
I'm taking a long weekend. But yeah, if you separate the meaning from the holiday, which is what we always do, Christmas, Halloween, they've all lost their meaning anyways. We just look forward to the time off and the traditions. Yeah, I think Juneteenth is like maybe the worst holiday because it's new, so there aren't any traditions yet.
Mm-hmm.
And also because, like you said, it could be a Tuesday, a Wednesday, a Thursday. Yep, so I'm with you 100%. I love this idea.
Let's fix Juneteenth, people. 713-572-46. No, I mean, and it's not without precedent, as we just talked about. Mm-hmm. President's Day. I don't know the particulars of MLK Day, but I think it used to be in the same boat.
Okay, yeah, that one I did not know.
Where it would fall on a day of the week and you take the day off. Maybe not. I could be dead wrong on that. But Juneteenth should be a Monday or a Friday even after the 19th.
You're right about MLK, by the way. It began as his birthday, same idea. And then they moved it to the third Monday of January.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a good point. I'm with you.
Yeah, let's do it.
These are my confessions.
I always use my confessions to just rant, and so I guess I'm going to do that here. My confession
That's a confession in itself.
Yeah, there you go. You're done now. You're done.
My confession is we are giving too large of an emphasis to online orders. I went to go get a pizza last Friday.
Are you the old dude?
Yes, I am. Well, this is ridiculous.
Calm down, boomer.
Yeah.
No. This is ridiculous. Everyone should be able to agree with this. I went to go get a pizza Friday. It wasn't one of the chains. It wasn't a Domino's, Pizza Hut, not a chain.
Mm-hmm.
Place here in Houston. I went to go get a pizza. I was just going to show up, get the pizza. I don't remember what time it was, but it wasn't the most ridiculous time where on a Friday night you'd expect it to be that slammed. I walk in, and the lady working behind the counter says, did you order online? I said, no. And she said, okay, it's going to be about an hour then.
What?
That's what I'm saying. I said, I'm standing here. Forget online. I'm here right now. I'm your customer. You're turning away money. I said, I'm not waiting an hour. This has happened before where I've been, a couple years ago, I was at a Subway waiting to order the sandwich, not an actual like Subway, like a train.
Yeah.
And the lady took a phone call and made that sandwich instead. Like, I'm here. Put them on hold. I'm here waiting right now. Take my order first. So my confession is we're giving too large of a priority and an emphasis to these online orders. To the lazy folks who don't want to just show up and make an order, I made the drive. I made a bigger commitment. I'm standing here ready to order. You tell me it's going to be an hour because all these online orders? That's ridiculous. You have to treat the customers in person first. That's my stance.
I don't disagree. I also would not hold my breath. Because that's money already in their pocket.
That's true.
You know, like you purchase it. I do Uber Eats a lot. Well, I do. This is an old guy thing. Like our big Friday night is like if we order food, I'll go drive and get it. She'll go drive and get it. But Friday night, we're not driving, baby. We're going to have them bring it to. So our big Friday treat is Uber Eats.
Okay.
But you pay online.
Yeah.
So that's already money in their pocket. You haven't paid them yet.
That's a fair point.
Yeah.
It's fair. Yeah. I'm not going to pay him now. You tell me an hour. I'm out the door. That was ridiculous. I went somewhere else.
These are my confessions.
So sometimes I feel like I need to know certain things to do certain activities. Like yesterday, I mowed, and it's we all know it's been raining. And you know when it's rained, there's tall grass. You know what comes? Mosquitoes.
Oh my! It's happening. By the way.
What's happening?
The big hatch of mosquitoes. If you got bit by a lot of mosquitoes, there's a reason for that.
Yeah, I feel like this is something I should know. I looked up on Google, sunscreen first or bug spray first?
Bug spray.
Really?
Yeah, 100%. So, don't even put sunscreen on.
Well, I looked it up, and it's not Google AI. It's two articles.
Mm-hmm.
The top one says sunscreen first, bug spray second. The article below says bug spray first, sunscreen second. I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah, that's a tough call. That's an interesting thing.
The real confession is I should know these things because I like
mowing. I don't know. I don't think that's true. I mean, maybe that's your good confession, but I don't know. If I put bug spray on, I don't put on any sunscreen. I want those bugs dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I do just the bug spray as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's like I said, though, my confession is I should know certain things off the top of my head before I go out and do some certain activities. I shouldn't be looking up on Google what to do.
This is progress because I think if I recall correctly, last time you and I were here, I think your confession was about like wearing long clothes instead of just getting bug spray.
You were going out in the sun wearing fully clothed
outfits.
No, it was me. Wearing short sleeve shirts and a shorts, no sunscreen, mowing.
That would be a problem.
Yes. Right. And your alternative was just to put on long sleeves instead of getting sunscreen.
Yeah, that would be a problem.
I worked a good sweat, though. I'll tell you what.
Yeah, you sure did.
These are my confessions.
All right, before I get to my next confession, I just want to set some people straight. Maybe that's a confession.
Oh,
I'll, based off my Juneteenth thing, which I think is a great idea. You don't have to, but you can't say this. Hold on, man, from the 281. You're out of line, Lopez. You can't be speaking up on other people's holidays. All right.
Oh, he's about to break it down.
I think I need to know all I need to know about you, 281. It is a national holiday. It is not other people's holiday. Juneteenth is a national holiday. So, and then he did this, which again, might say something. Ain't nobody trying to move around Cinco de Mayo.
What?
Yeah, they're out
That's
there.
That's two totally different holidays, but okay.
And then there's this one, which I get his point. I'm not criticizing, but I get his point, but there's a reason for why. He says, OG advocating for Juneteenth to be a Monday or Friday, but not 4th of July says something, not sure what, but something. Here's the difference. 4th of July, people take like 5 days off.
Yeah.
You know, people take like the whole, I'm taking 5 days off, I think. At least 4th of July. It's a bigger, more, hey, we're just taking time off type of holiday. I wouldn't mind it, but I get what your point is. All right, so here's my next confession. And I'm admitting fully, this might be completely unfair. But this whole Shador Sanders thing that's breaking, by the way, I say breaking, but it's happening. You know, update today is he not only was ticketed for driving 101 miles an hour, and was it a 60-mile-an-hour zone?
Yep.
June 6th, he was ticketed for speeding as well and didn't appear in court. So in the same month, in a matter of weeks, two speeding tickets, one for which he did not show up in court. This is my confession, and I've been defending him forever because it's tough being him. Look, I get how it's easy being him, too. It's nice being him, but it's tough with the focus and the dad and all this other stuff and dropping in the draft and people. But this kind of does. I'm not going to say I've changed my opinion, but it's affected the way I've looked at it. When you get two of these, there's a problem.
Yeah.
That, and especially when you are in such a focal point, such a limelight, you can't be doing this. Can't be doing it.
Agreed. And that's only the two times he got caught. Who knows how. Mm-hmm. And for someone who's coming in trying to earn the respect and the job, like he was already
exactly
holding up. He was doing the celebration and practice with the watch. Like, I think it's better to just keep a low profile, put your head down, go to work, and not be this maybe overly confident, arrogant guy. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah, behave your best. I love all the comments. Multiple people said that. You forget in April he was supposed to go 25, but went 145.
That's exactly where I was going to go.
Yeah. So a few people sent that in. That's really good.
Yeah, so in that context, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
These are my confessions.
My confession, like I know he was on the airwaves this week, and I think everyone around here seems to love him. I do not care one bit about Joey Chestnut returning.
Oh,
and
wow.
I can't stand this
You're
guy.
You're going to get canceled.
I know. I can't stand him. Full transparency, I've never had any interactions with him. I know Sean has, and he spoke highly of him. But I know multiple people in the radio industry who've dealt with him, and they all had bad things to say just about like how much of a pompous jerk he is, how poorly he
treats. Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
Multiple people. I'm not going to name them, but they work high radio jobs, and they've complained. Some have said he demanded money for an appearance to come on the show, so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Just a lot of bad story. I think he's very arrogant. Look, it's like a party trick. You can eat a lot of hot dogs really cool. I've talked to a few competitive eaters that have competed in the July 4th contest, and they're just normal guys that realize, like, yeah, it's kind of a cool thing I do on the side. Where Joey Chestnut, and I know it's his career, and he makes money off of it, but he's just way too arrogant for something that most people, you're like, it's like I said, you're like going to the circus. Most people don't truly care at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Joey Chestnut had his own little thing on Labor Day last year because he was banned from the Nathan's contest.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody cared. Nobody watched. So anyways, my complaint or my confession and complaint is just that I couldn't care less that Joey Chestnut's back. I actually wish he wasn't. And I can't stand all the praise for him.
All right. So your confession is more about Joey Chestnut, which I can't disagree with because, you know, you've got that experience and know about it. I thought you were talking about the Nathan's hot dog. That's always fun to watch.
Oh, no, I watch it.
That's always fun to watch.
No, I'm into it. I just don't like the whole character he's become.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks he's like this larger than life. You just eat a lot of hot dogs, relax, and then go throw up afterwards, please.
Yes.
Those are our confessions. Hey, if you ever want to get something off your chest, you could text the show too. 713-572-4610. When we come back, it's time to play a little game called Buy or Sell. We'll do it next. It's In the Loop.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Luke Morrow in for Reggie today. Colin Neal in for Figgy Fig. And John Lopez with us, of course, here on In the Loop. And it's time to play a little game called Buy or Sell.
Yeah, it's Thursday. So are you buying this or are you selling this? 713-572-4610. But really also, Luke, Colin, these are some things that have happened this week. Tell me if you're buying it or you're selling it. And we're going to start, of course, with Joe Espada and the Houston Astros. Joe Espada, you get your twofer with him. You get the twofer with Joe Espada. First of all, I believe Monday, he said that is the accident on Lance McCullers Jr. was, quote, a freak accident. You buying that?
I am buying that because I just don't know how this happens.
Like you heard on the promo. How did this happen?
Yeah, right. I don't know how it happens with the toe injury in the weight room. My theory, like I said earlier, was like tripping over a weight, not looking, turning, and, you know, kind of like stubbing your toe or stumbling, whatever. I'd like to believe it's a freak accident because I don't know how else someone dropped a weight on him. I don't think that's even kind of a freak accident. So I'm going to buy it.
I'm a buy too. And it's because since that Yordan injury, the Astros have been pretty much more open about the injuries, what's been going on, what are the updates with the players that are on rehab, that are, you know, ramping up, getting ready. So I'm going to say I'm a buy on that.
I'm going to buy that one too, but I'm not buying what you just said because of this second one here. Now, keep in mind earlier, when talking about Yordan, he said on the broken or whatever it was hand, that he was getting better and he was at 60%, which when you say 60%, clearly you're making up that number because and then he said this week on the flagship, Dana Brown did, that Yordan is, quote, day to day. It's a day to day thing and he feels a lot better. Are you buying that?
No.
On Yordan?
No, I can't because this is just dragged on too long. Like, I just don't I don't buy any of their updates. Day to day, they've been saying day to day for before we even got the news of like how severe it was. And he was going to take batting practice. So I can't buy any of their updates on any of these injuries. 65%, that just seems like a random number. a little higher than 60 after some time has passed.
No, he didn't say that. That was me.
Okay.
I said, what is he now, 65%?
Okay. All right. Well, still, point remains. I'm selling.
Now, when it comes to Yordan, though, I'm selling until I see it. It's because of how badly that they screwed the pooch on that.
So. Yeah. Yeah, I put that down. But what is he, better now? So it's 65?
Yeah, right.
I always listen to my calculations.
Yeah.
I always love, I think it was Jim Gaffigan who did the joke about chiropractors adjusting your neck, and they need like 50%. And he's, you know, 49%, not enough. 51% dead. And it just reminds me of like this whole polling number. 60%. That's where whatever.
All right. You buying or selling this? Now, this was not a direct quote. It was reported. But it was reported that Devers out of Boston did not demand the trade from the Red Sox. You buying that?
I am buying it because of semantics. I guess I'm splitting hairs. Based off of what I've seen, it seems like he made it clear he wasn't happy, but he didn't technically go to the front office and demand to be traded. He made it like known, but didn't demand. It's almost like Damian Lillard all those years who didn't want to be the bad guy, so he never truly demanded a trade. But you knew he wanted to, he didn't want to be there.
Yeah.
So I will buy it just like on a technicality of the semantics, but certainly I think it was known he wanted out.
Yeah, I don't think he demanded, but it was probably clear that he was not. It was clear he was not happy, and forgot the GM's name for the Red Sox.
Craig Breslow.
Yeah, Breslow. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, you're gonna hear from him in just a second, but go ahead.
Yeah, it's I think Breslow's just like that's that was he wasn't the one that extended Devers in the first place, and he's not a part. I think it just made it clear like, hey, you're not a part of my long term vision for. For this team, so they get the contract off the books. I mean, the Red Sox are not paying anything.
Yeah,
paying the rest of the contract. So you got that big contract off the books. I mean, you can look at one side and be like, oh, what the hell's going on? Like Devers was supposed to be a cornerstone franchise guy, but then you look on the other side of the coin, you know, they got a big contract off the books. And
they did.
They got that drama out of the clubhouse.
I'm gonna sell it, even though your semantics point would directly contradict why I'm selling it. Even though he didn't demand a trade, when your agent demands a trade, you're demanding a trade
for sure.
So I think his agent demanded a trade.
That's fair.
Speaking of the Red Sox and Devers, this is what Craig Breslow said. This trade is in no way signifying us waving a white flag on 2025. Are you buying that part of it?
I am going to buy it, but I might be proven an idiot over the next 6 weeks. Because as Colin just laid out, you just got $280 million back in your pockets. Now, look, the Red Sox, their owners have become very frugal in recent years, which I think is part of why they did trade Devers away. Mm-hmm. In fact, the reports were they had a deal with, I think it was the Braves, but the Braves weren't willing to take on the whole contract. So they said, no, thanks. Mm-hmm. We're going to send him to the Giants for a lesser deal because the Giants are taking all the money. So they might not spend any of this money at the trade deadline or this offseason, but I buy the idea that it's not waving the white flag because you just got $280 million back. You better go reinvest it at the deadline, make some moves, assuming they are competitive. This is when the Red Sox got hot last year. Breslow made four trades at the deadline. They've gotten hot again same time of year this year. If they're in the hunt, now you got to go make some big moves. Otherwise, yeah, you're going to make me look like a liar.
Well, it's also going to depend on when Bregman gets back because he's still not playing, and they're relying on some prospects they brought up, like Roman Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, though, the Yankees have been pretty suspect over the last week.
Terrible.
Awful. They got shut out. They got
30 straight runs, 30 straight innings without a run.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, I mean, the Rays are an interesting bunch. They always seem to have a good first half, but then they falter as the season goes on. And the Blue Jays are still just very much a wild card in this division. I mean, I wouldn't be surpassed to say that the Red Sox could try and get that AL East if the Yankees continue on his downtrend.
I'm going to buy it because I do believe he thinks that, but I don't think they're going to make a big run in the postseason. All right, we have an audio buy or sell, and this has to do with the sensation over at Vanderbilt quarterback Diego Pavia. This is what he said on Bussin' with the Boys.
Vanderbilt's going to run Tennessee after this year. Like, this is going to be the new staple of like college football is going to happen here at Vanderbilt.
Do any of you and the boys ever like talk about that? Like, we got to be the state school.
Well,
we're in Nashville, Tennessee. In the Music City. Like, we need to be the brand of Tennessee.
Everyone wants to come to Tennessee because of Nashville. So they want to come to Nashville. So Vanderbilt. And then when we have like the most money in NIL, like, why not come here?
All right. That's probably enough. So, like, I've had my fill. Vanderbilt is going to run Tennessee.
Absolutely not. Selling this as much as I can. I don't know. I haven't seen the numbers. I would find it hard to believe that Vanderbilt would have more. And I know it's a really good school.
I doubted that too. I'm like, really?
Than Tennessee with how much they care about football over there.
Yeah.
So no, I'm selling this. Come on. I love the job Clark Lee's done, especially last year. They're better than anyone would expect. But it's Vanderbilt. They've never been good outside of a couple years with James Franklin compared to Tennessee. Yeah. So sell. And just a real quick, so I hate when people do this. I used to cover Dabo Sweeney and Clemson, and he'd always say, in the offseason, he's the best quarterback we've seen. Stop with this high, setting the bar. No one's asking you to do that. Stop setting the bar so high, because now if Vanderbilt doesn't play well this year, if this quarterback doesn't play well this year, this is the standard you set of, we're going to be the new football team in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Stop saying things like this.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't a discount on how good of a player, how much of a dog that Diego Pavia mm-hmm. is. He loved that confidence. I mean, mm-hmm. I got to see him play when I was traveling with the Sam Houston football team athletics department for radio. I saw him play against us again at Las Cruces, New Mexico, New Mexico State, which mm-hmm. you know was a school he was at before he came in. So he's got that dog in him. It's just that, you know, for, I mean, first of all, he wouldn't have been here if he decided to go after the NCAA for trying to get that extra year eligibility. What's
it, 7-6, something like that?
Something like that. And but to say the least, it's Vanderbilt. Last year was a great year. I just don't know if you can repeat it. I mean, I think they can make at least a bowl game,
mm-hmm.
but Tennessee's still number one.
Tennessee's, I mean, that's just silliness. I mean, I felt silly even putting it in here, but it was it was so nasty. I mean, it was so wild. But yeah, I'm selling as well. But the guy can flat out play. I've seen him a couple times. He's really good. All right, another one for you here. We all saw the viral video of Deebo Samuel at training camp. How would you describe his effort?
I didn't think it was that great.
Slow.
I thought it was a little beefy, too.
Beefy and slow. Well, the very next day, which I don't think was a coincidence, and I think you know where my answer is going to be on this. You buying or selling Dan Quidd the very next day said Deebo Samuel is, quote, one of the fastest players on the team.
I mean, it might be true. I'll have to look at like the 40 times. It wouldn't bode well. But no, I don't buy the idea. Look, he's the new big name they brought in this offseason for weapons on offense. And of course, you got to pump up your guy. But I'm sure it's just coach speak. If it's true, that probably doesn't bode well for the Commanders. But in general, I'm going to say no based off of not only what we saw in that clip, but he slowed down in San Francisco. So I'm selling it.
Yeah,
it's... there's still a lot of injury like concerns around it.
I
think he's just like you said, Luke. It's coach speak at the end of the day. So
we all know what we saw. That wasn't an altered video. I don't think he was thick and slow. To me, it mattered that he said it the very next day. He kind of wanted to nip that in the bud. I think he probably also was sending a message to Deebo, like, hey, this is what they're saying about you. And we need you to come back in better shape. All right, one more for you here. LeBron James was on another podcast. I forget which one this was. But he said, quote, I don't know why it's discussed so much in our sport. And what he was talking about is winning championships.
I got the full audio.
Oh, you got it? Let's hear it. Let's hear it. Let's hear it.
So let me mm-hmm. get it going here.
It's funny. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why it's discussed so much in our sport. And why it's the A-all, be-all mm-hmm. of everything. You sit here and you tell me, you know, Allen Iverson and Charles Barkley and Steve Nash, you know, wasn't unbelievable. Like, oh, they can't be talked about or discussed with these guys because this guy won one ring or won two rings or won, like, it's just weird to me. It's like saying Peyton Manning can't be in the same room with Brady. Mm-hmm. Or Mahomes, because he only has one ring. They don't never discuss that in a sport.
Right. That's probably good.
Or telling me that Dan Marino is not the greatest slinger of all time. Or he can't be.
All right, so here's the thing. I'll start this one and get yours. The whole, I don't know why it's discussed so much in our sport about championships. First of all, the players that he gave as examples, you know, that they're, you know, they're not being talked about or shouldn't be talked about or whatever, they're all in the Hall of Fame. Every single one, I went through them as I'm listening to him rattle them. Every single player he said is in the Hall of Fame. Nobody is saying that they weren't great. What they're saying is all those guys would rather have had championships, not rather, but would want a championship more than just than anything else. And by the way, would LeBron be saying that if he didn't have a championship?
Right, no. Yeah, of course, I'm with you 100%. We're not saying those guys aren't great, but they're just not as great as Michael Jordan or Tom Brady for the quarterbacks. And Mike Greenberg uses a term, I can't remember how he phrases it, but he has a good terminology to compare, you know, like the best quarterback versus the greatest quarterback, I think is what he does, mm-hmm. where Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback because of his success. He might not have been the best quarterback. Montana might have been more talented. You might even think Aaron Rodgers is more talented. But, you know, organized sports are all about winning championships, especially at the professional level. So that's what you should be judged upon. But also, don't forget LeBron. After he did win that title finally in Cleveland, he himself said, now that I've won this championship, I'm the greatest ever. So he's very guilty. He's kind of started this whole chasing the ring culture by going to Miami. After he won the Cleveland championship, he said because of that ring, he's now the greatest of all time. So, like a lot of things with LeBron, it just comes off as kind of hypocritical.
Yeah, it's also a lot of the LeBron stands are also that kind of like the rings. Like they always kind of like tend to back off on the rings a little bit.
Yeah.
But this is the same guy that said that 2020 was the purest form of basketball.
Oh God, I forgot about that.
Yeah, this I'm selling hard. Sell.
Who won that year, by the way?
Good question.
I wonder who won that year.
Yeah, the most Fugazi championship of all time.
Fugazi. Love Mickey.
Yeah.
People are pointing out that I guess he said he referenced Peyton Manning, but Peyton Manning does have, of course, have a couple Super Bowl victories.
Well, I meant the basketball players he was talking about, AI and Barkley. And
no, but did he say Peyton or did you? I don't know. Maybe I
missed. Well, he mentioned
Marino.
Oh, okay. All right. Also, one last text before we get to break from the 832 about the whole Vanderbilt thing. Why not say it if one 18-year-old four-star that watches Bussin' with the Boys takes a visit now? Y'all are idiots and so bitter. If that's what leads to your recruiting decision, God help you. I don't know. You see a quarterback on a podcast saying, we're going to be really good. It's like, all right, I'm going to Vanderbilt now.
Hey, I'm not saying I'm not pulling for him. I mean, it doesn't matter to me. All I'm saying is one ain't going to make it. One four-star recruit ain't going
to
make it.
I think you also have to prove it first before these recruits. It comes down to NIL, NFL opportunities, and then also just success. And Vanderbilt hasn't had enough of that. Hey, when we come back, that was buy or sell. When we come back, did the Texans just do the worst thing in franchise history? That's what one person thinks. We'll get to it next in the Loop.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.